Hey, good morning, everyone. All right, I got about this half of the church saying good morning. Hey, come on, help me out. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh my gosh, it is good to see you. Good to be back. Of course, Pastor Tiffany and I were going last week, and we were in Ohio. We got a chance to minister, and if you've been with us for maybe, I think about 6 years ago, Chet moved on. Chet was one of our youth pastors here for quite a while, and he launched out into Ohio, like I said, 6 years ago, and pioneered a church, and so he had us come there and minister, and they were in their new building, so that's pretty awesome. But I just want to say thank you to Bryce and Mackenzie for ministering last week. Just a powerful message. And, you know, that was kind of new for Bryce for sure. I think it was the first time he'd been up in a pulpit setting like this and stared at people like you staring back at him. So he did a great job. And then, of course, we're in this series called Sozo. And Pastor Tiffany launched us out into that series here about 3 weeks ago now, I think. She did the first two, and just a powerful series. I think you've heard me say, I think it's one of the most important ones that we've really ever done as a church, because if you'll get an understanding of this word working in your life, I believe with everything within me that when we come to the end of this year, that we're being equipped to be fully devoted followers of Christ. Oh, when Sozo's working in your life, I'm telling you, you'll see some results from it. You'll see fruit that you're looking for. Hey, by the way, I'm Pastor Stephen. If you're out there online, glad to have you here in the house with us this morning. Give us a big wave if you can on your social device, however you can do that. Coastal, give those folks a big warm welcome this morning. Am I jacked up here? It's better than not having my socks. I left my socks at home this morning, so I had to steal some from one of the kids, and you never know what you're getting when you do that. So thank God Bryce had a brand new pair in his car. That was pretty awesome, and they match a little bit too. So, hey, if it's your first time here at Coastal 2 here in-house, come on, give them a warm welcome as well. Glad to have you. Seriously, I am. What do you keep telling me? Huh? Am I straight? Oh, my goodness. Hey, let's jump into this thing. Hey, here's some things that Pastor Tiffany kind of launched us into. Let me just remind us. I wrote some of these things down again. And you look at this word sozo, and you look at its definition out of the scriptures, out of the New Testament mainly. That's where you see this word. Another word for it's used in the Hebrew. But this word sozo has a definition that means this. It's actually our English word for salvation. Look at somebody and say salvation. It means to save. It means to deliver, to make whole, to be healed, to be whole, to rescue. Come on, tell somebody, you're about to be rescued today. I'll catch up with you before the end of the day. You'll know what I mean. Here we go. To escape from temptation. Come on, everybody needs that one right there. Come on. Okay, just a few of us. Stand back up. Come on, stand back up. I'm not moved by your emotion. Well, you need to be moved by your emotion right now. Look at somebody and say, it's time. Overcome that temptation. It's time to have salvation working in your life. Every one of you looking at me instead of somebody else. You can be seated. Another definition of this word sozo is renewing the mind. And, of course, that's what we endeavor to do every time we come together on a Sunday morning, is just renew our mind to the scriptures, because we're as believers, it's our pathway. It's our map. It's our guide. It's our director. And we apply that to our life. And when you do, you reap the benefit of the great results from the Father in heaven when you just take His word and allow it be the governor of your life. Amen? Well, we found out also that this word in the New Testament was used over 100 times. So I would think it's important for us to get a little bit of understanding of it. We spent 2 weeks now, actually two and almost 3 weeks, talking about how your spirit man and who you are, spirit, soul, and body, your spirit man is the most important part of who you are. And in God, that person is already reborn. It's already a new person. That person is the person we want to learn how to be led by, who the real you, your spirit man. But now as we kind of shift over into this series now, we start to talk about, I'm going to start addressing settled emotions. I'm going to lean into that pathway of sozo. Now, I won't be able to be with you next week. Pastor Tiffany's got a powerful message here coming for the mothers. Of course, it's Mother's Day next week. But then I'll be back with you. And I'm telling you, the more that I look into this, I wish, and I probably will, I'd love to be able to turn it into a full series on settled emotions. Because, man, emotions are driving our nation like crazy right now. Feelings are driving our nation like crazy. And we're taking two words, emotion and feelings, and they're very similar, but they're very different at the same time. And if we don't have an understanding of them, then we will become just like the world in a sense and reap maybe some of the same results. But here's what I want to start with today. I'm not going to necessarily give you a 1-2-3 step today how to overcome emotion, okay? We cannot do that today. I just want to maybe introduce to you maybe their definition and maybe how to understand them when they come. And to do that, first of all, we'll unpack these scriptures next week, the next time I'm with you. I want to show you three scriptures that will be textual scriptures for us to use throughout this series, or this part of the series that I'm doing. And I'm also going to be straight up with you. I'm going to be focused mainly in these settled emotions in the relational side, how we interact with people. And you don't have a choice. You got people. You're going to have to be with people the rest of your life. Even when you go to heaven, you got to be around people. And so if we're with people 24/7, and that's the life that we're living by this world of five senses, and that's the world we're dominated by, we need to know how to function in it through the spiritual side if we want to see the fruit of the Spirit working in our life. So here, start with me with these three scriptures. I need to move right along but so we can get to where we're going, but go with me to John chapter 14, look at verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 1 starts this way in the King James Version. I'm going to use multiple translations today. It says here, "Let not your heart be troubled." Everybody say, "Let not." You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, I will unpack the story or the account behind that when we come together in a couple weeks so you understand. But say, "Let not" again. Ephesians chapter 5, go with me there. Verses 1 and 2. The Good News Translation. Everybody likes good news, right? Here we go. I don't know if you'll like this one. "Since you are God's dear children, you must try to be like Him." You know what I like about the word "try"? That gives me room for grace. That lets me know that it's not necessarily always the easiest thing to be like God. Even though I've been created like Him, in His likeness and His image. Even though my spirit man is alive unto God, it's not always, because I have two other parts I'm functioning within, which is my spirit, my body, and my soul. And the soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. I've got to learn how to govern those. But he goes on to say, he kind of explains what that looks like. "Your life must be controlled by love." Everybody say love. "Just as Christ loved us and gave His life for us, it's a sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice that pleases God." Now go with me to 1 Corinthians now. Again, these are just textual scriptures we'll use the next time I'm with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to look at three verses out of this chapter right now. I'm not taking anything out of context. I'm just, like I said, we'll unpack it. But I just want you to see these three directional verses in this chapter. Verse 8, "Love never fails." Okay, and he goes on to say this, verse 11. Everybody say, "I like this verse 11. That's a faith statement. "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, an adult, I put away childish things." And go with me to verse 13. Again, not out of context. We're just pathway for the plan. Here we go. "Now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." I want to take the time this week here just to define these two words, emotions and feelings. Our series is Settled Emotions. But you cannot talk about emotion without talking about feeling, because the feeling is going to follow the emotion. And there's something beyond the feeling that's driving the feeling that will cause the emotion to respond. We want to know what that is, all right? So, you know, here I kind of wrote these quotes down because I want you to understand. There's nothing wrong with emotion. There's nothing wrong with feeling. You live in it. You have to have it. We all have them. We've all made mistakes within both. some more than others. And in the nation, in the world we're living in right now, we're seeing a whole lot. Now, I'm not going to get political within this, but if you think about the way the world is right now, it's just confirming the Scripture. The Scripture says that in the last days that we live in, that there will be race against race, people group against people group. They'll be uncontrolled, they'll be undisciplined, and you won't be able to control them. So we're a fool to think we're going to be able to control this mass group of people when it's just part of the end times. You have to be focused on, how am I going to control me? Emotions. They provide us with the energy and the motivation to get our goals and our needs met despite the occasional public display or fail. Experiences of life. They play an important role in how we think and how we behave, good or bad. Now, here's a key. We'll talk more about it later, but here's a really big key to harnessing. Well, maybe we'll use that word a few times as I'm teaching you. We'll harness these emotions. Here's a real big key to be able to do that. Think correctly before you behave. Think correctly before you behave. Don't think religiously, but think correctly. And just for fun, I want to show you a quick video, and it's kind of lame in its presentation. It's one of those quiet ones that makes you have to just look at it a little bit. But you see, emotions are really universal. If you study them in their how do they apply to us as humans, they're really universal worldwide. You see some of the same emotions. As I began to look into this, this what you'll see is seven separate emotions through a simple facial expression. Now see, when we think emotions, we think about, ah! But there's something that happens before the ah comes that brings the ah. So I just want you to look at this simple seven emotions through a facial expression. It's very subtle, and it's going to ask you to identify it. Now if you think of it, spout it out, I don't care, go ahead. They'll tell you the answer. But just take a look at this real quick. Go ahead, Chase. Guess them as they were going through it. We were sharing that with the girls the other night, and they were trying to do it. We didn't hit a whole lot of them. We all got the word anger. We all figured that one out, and we all figured out the word sadness. So here's seven emotions that you just saw. Again, surprise. Anybody ever been surprised before? Huh? You know, that person shows up at your house, you didn't know they were coming. Anybody been disgusted before? Sure, you have. Contempt, happiness, sadness, anger, fear. Listen, we know that these expressions become, or these emotions get bigger as the experience is bigger. I get that. But if we can capture it at that subtle moment, before it becomes the more then we can harness it in such a way that it doesn't become destructive, and actually it could become something that you just might enjoy. Here, let's define these words real quick. The word emotional or emotion, a conscious mental reaction such as anger, fear, happiness, joy, subjectively experienced as a strong feeling usually directed towards a specific object or person, and typically accompanied by physiological and behavioral changes in the body. So emotion is more of an outward, external expression. Feelings, they're more personal, they're internal. They interpret that emotion that you just had. Listen to this. Mental associations and reactions to emotions colored by our personal past and present experiences and beliefs. Your beliefs in emotions are really vital to determine how you're going to go with it. And actually, what's even more important was the final definition to this is that, again, when we say colored by our personal past and present experiences and beliefs, they're driven by our thoughts and our thinking. Imagine with me for a minute. How many here like roller coasters? Not a whole lot. I love them. I flat out love them. Even at 54 years old, I love roller coasters. Let me just kind of help you and maybe embrace the thought of this definition of emotion or emotional or emotion. I love it when I get to the top of that hill and all that anticipation and all of a sudden that emotion of fear shows up at the top of that hill. And then all of a sudden it gets ready to break down, and then all of a sudden that emotion of fear turns into a feeling of gut to mouth. And once it gets to gut to mouth, then what's driving it now is my thoughts. Have I made a mistake? Should I even be on this ride? And 50 minutes, 50 seconds, it's over with. And it drives me to go back and do it again. It was a good thing. Think about this one. How about this emotion? You're lying in bed at night. If you're married and you got this, you know, and you're sound asleep, and all of a sudden you hear this big thump, big boom outside of your house, and you both wake up, and your wife poking you, go see what that is. Go see it, and you're like, no, you go see what that is. You go see what that is, and there's the emotion of the fear shows up at that moment. And then what do? You hesitantly get out of your bed, and you go to the door, and then you think, I'm going to get my gun. You go get your gun. You come back. You pop that bullet in the chamber. You're ready to go. I'm going to, anything out there that ain't supposed to be, I'm okay now. Then you get afraid. Oh my gosh, I might kill somebody. And you pop out the door, and it's nothing but a big limb hit the house or the rocking chair moving back and forth. Now we got one of those rings. We hear everything. But when it really turns into a stronger feeling is the next day when you start to describe the emotion of wake up that you just had. You go tell somebody, and some of you are more elaborate. You start kind of stretching the story a little bit to, you know, just make you feel better about being so afraid. You say, man, I'm just telling you, listen, there was something out there. I know there was. It looked like that limb, but there was something bigger than that limb. I know it was. I was terrified. You see, because you had a little bit more time to think about it, to drive the story of it, and it become a greater emotion, because we always want people to feel the same emotion that we had in the moment, right? I don't know if it's just you but me, but has any married couples had that experience before, something similar? Listen, think about this. Sometimes emotions and feelings can be life-stopping or controlling and even overwhelming. Grief can be life-stopping emotion. Now, just maybe a personal opinion. I don't know if this is actually doctrine or reality, but I don't think you can take grief and put it into one definition of emotion. I believe there's multiple emotions that come with grief, just in my own personal experience. But here's a life-stopping emotion. Grief, broken heart, anger, disappointment, failure. But man, when you think about emotions and feelings, hopefully more times than none, they can be enjoyable. They can be something that stirs up a good in your life. How about this? A good report? Man, that could be a good emotion that shows up. How about a sunshiny day? Come on, we're ready for those sunshiny days. Man, I was loving that 80 degree, and then it dropped right back down to 50 yesterday, but right back up. Come on, let me tell you. How about a big fish? How about a big wave? Trying to hit everybody. The emotion and the first thought of that, yeah, I know my son-in-law, when he hears big waves, he's gone. He's lost. Don't even find him. He's gone. A new relationship. A pay raise. Come on, somebody. How about this? Peace in the midst of a storm through your belief. No matter what chaos is going on around you, your emotion is controlled by the peace within. How about joy in the morning when grief is there? But I wake up, I got joy in the morning, even because I know that they're staring down from the grandstand, cheering me on, watching what I'm doing. I know that I'm going to return. I mean, I could go on and on, but listen, the list is endless. We just can't live or be led by those emotions. Nor can we not acknowledge them either. Now listen, I'm probably going to go against some grain of... some faith camps try to get you to deny the emotion, try to get you to not acknowledge it. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. Because I believe the Bible gives me a pathway not to deny, but gives me a pathway how to harness it so I can turn it into something that's good, turn it into something that's not bad, and it doesn't become destructive. Because it's a gift from God. I want to read this quote to you. Emotions are a good gift from God, just as our minds enable us to think and our wills enable us to choose. So our emotions enable us to respond. Emotions play an important role in how you think and how you respond throughout all of your life. You know, guys, as believers, we are really called to live by faith. Smith Wigglesworth, a well-known writer, well-known faith teacher, he coined this phrase, and it's kind of something that's just kind of followed through church camps, and that is, I'm not moved by what I feel, I'm going to be moved by what I believe. Well, what do you believe? If you're not willing to ask what you believe, you're going to probably come to this place where your emotions and your feelings, which the majority are led by those. It's work to not be led by those. It's work to be led by faith. Romans 1:17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." In other words, like I said, I do believe that God's got a plan for us to really harness the emotional side of our life and the feeling side of our life. We just got to kind of dig into it and find out what it is. Can I tell you this? Emotions actually are a gauge, not a guide. They gauge the next decision that you can make. And if you'll take a step back at the front side of the emotion, you can make better choices, better decisions that turn out a lot better for you than going rushing right into the game and becoming destructive with life. Your feelings are not always going to be reliable. Come on. So maybe let's get back to this. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. I told you it's practical today. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, New Living. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The heart there is defined two things. It's defined as the pneuma of you, your spirit. It's also defined as your mind of you. Trust God with those two places of you, that if you govern this and you lead by this, he says, do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you which path to take. Emotions are followed by feelings, and feelings that are triggered by and they're fueled by the thoughts that you have. And you can be overthinking. You can be triggered by negative thinking. You can be triggered. This is not mind control from the standpoint without ignoring your spirit. That would be New Age. I can tell you to think positive all day long and do you no good. Until we learn how to bring spirit with the positive thinking, who you really are, trusting in the word where the grace comes through, if I learn to trust that, then I'm empowered to live and I see the result, because that's when the Spirit of God does the work and you enter into rest. Remember our definition of emotion, that it's driven by thoughts and thinking? Proverbs 23:7. The Bible has so much to say about life. Proverbs 23:7, amplify. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Again, this word defines both your pneuma, your spirit, and your mind as well. When you think in your mind, actually in this scripture, it gives more reference to how you think with your head, your brain, your mental capacity. And the Bible says that determines, listen, there's no doubt that emotions and choices and they're affected by people. It's affected by experiences. It's affected by circumstances. There's no doubt about that. And there's no doubt that we've all done things we wish we never did. But can you follow this pathway with me, and just to kind of bring an explanation to it a little bit? Here we go. I'm going to follow a pathway of emotion. It comes to me. What do I do with it? And let me just show you what it can look like. All right? It's followed by, here's the emotion of anger or disgust or disappointment. It shows up. All right? Hey, give me your best angry face, all of you. I got some of you. Some of you are so happy you're never angry. That's great. All right, there's the moment. There's the disappointment. There's the fear. There's the anger right there. Maybe you get that angry because you're thinking, your first thought is, you didn't like the way somebody treated you in that moment. They didn't say something to you you thought they should have said to you. They didn't speak to you. For some reason, you're like God's gift in the, you should always be spoken to. And like, you know, this is me. They didn't know me. At that moment, the emotion is there. But it's what you do with that beyond there. By thinking how they treated me, stirring up the feeling of disappointment, leading to the feeling of hurt, leading to the outburst of emotion by the words that I say. Now, you might not go, bah! You might just go sit down with your spouse and say, you know, so-and-so didn't talk to me today. You just gave seed to the emotion that was really a gauge for you to walk in love. And what you did is you took it the other pathway of emotion, which the feelings love to jump on board with emotion and drive. And then the thinking loves where the enemy works, where he's the deceiver. He loves to get me into that realm and just push it a little bit more. So now here's what happens. You show up. Let's just talk church people. You show up to church. And because you planted that seed, now every time you see that person, another thought comes of something else they're not doing for you. They didn't see, I told you, they didn't say hey to me. Do you see how they looked at me today too? And I'm like, man. Here we go. Listen, guys. I'm careful not to say too much. I only got a couple minutes here because we got time. We're going to talk about it. I won't go there. Let me just give you a couple definitions, or a definition of settled emotions, and I want to read two scriptures to you, and I'm going to let you go. Settled emotions, defined. Ordered and stable as a believer in my mind and body's response to life's experiences, absolutes, and changes. Ordered, settled. Here's the process. Here's where it begins. And then we'll have some fun down the road. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, the Message translation. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion an impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Sometimes you can't help the way you feel. I get that. And sometimes there's reality to the backside of the emotion before the emotion came. You've been hurt. People do dumb stuff. People say wrong things. And death comes to some. But if I grab hold of this on the front side and I bring the power of God in it, I can submit these things to the will of God and I can choose how I want to respond. And then maybe I'll see the fruit of the Spirit show up that brings me the peace beyond all understanding that I'm looking for. Final paragraph. I'm going to invite Bryce to come on up. Emotions are good and gracious gift to every man and woman created in the image of God. We just need to deal with them and respond to them in a healthy way, a biblical way that just honors God. Everybody say, I'm equipped with settled emotions. Let me pray with you. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that as we've launched out into this series to just discover the emotions that we have and the feelings and do something with them, the God thing. We ask for your help. We ask for the understanding. We ask for more revelation. And Father, we're grateful to know that you're not pointing a finger at us. You're just showing us who you are. That if we endeavor in the next few weeks together to walk in love and understand, we'll be blessed. We'll have sozo in our life. Salvation. In Jesus' name, I pray that everyone in this house, their life will be changed in the world of emotion. Maybe you're out there, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. I invite you to do that first step to probably the best pathway you've ever been on in your whole life. Jesus loves you so much. God loves you so much. And he's got a plan that no one else could have. Answers and directions and maybe even the peace you've been looking for. I invite you to make him Lord. Believe in your heart, just maybe by the words that I say, but trust me, once you say them, he'll step in. If there's somebody here you want to recommit and say, hey, you know what, I need a reboot, I need a restart, I came into church today just for that, that's all I'm here for. I didn't hear a thing you said, Pastor. I just want that reboot, restart, in just this, that my salvation is still real to me. Out there online, you too as well, sitting in home, saved for the first time, reboot life, you know, just renewing who you are in God. I pray that this would be that moment. Everybody here, I want you to pray with me just to help these people. Say, Father, I acknowledge your reality. And I do believe, based on the word the pastor said, that you're real and you love me. But I'm asking that you reveal yourself to me. And I confess you as Lord. And I thank you as of today, I have a new start in Jesus' name. I love you. We're going to have fun with this one. I'll meet you at the back. Bryce?
Hey, Coastal, how we doing today? Thank you, Pastor Steven, so much. That is week 4 of Sozo, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. Hey, I just want to talk to you real quick. If you prayed that prayer with Pastor Steven at the end, and maybe you're making a recommitment to Christ, or maybe this is a first time where maybe you're ever stepping into a relationship with God, I just want to tell you we're so excited and so blessed by that. And so I just want to give you a real quick tip on what you can do to just help really plant that new relationship with Christ. The one thing I'm going to ask you to do is to download our Coastal Family Church app. Once you download the app, you can go over to the I Have Decided tab and just fill out some of that information that's on there and submit it, and then we're going to get it and we're going to be able to just reach out to you and connect with you, because that's what we want to do. We want to come alongside you and just encourage you in this new relationship with Christ, or help you get back on track with him. So download the app, Coastal Family Church, and then click on the I Have Decided. And then today, guys, before I let you go this morning, I do have two quick announcements. One is that next Sunday is going to be Mother's Day, and we're just going to be loving on the moms. So please come, bring your mom. Even if your mom hasn't been maybe coming to church, just encourage her to come out, because we're going to love on them. We're going to give some gifts away. Pastor Tiffany's going to be bringing an awesome word. So I encourage you about that. And then last but not least, small group training. We've been talking about it. I just want to remind you, it is May 4th. That is going to be a Tuesday at 7 p.m. It's directly after prayer. So hint, hint, always a good excuse to come show up for prayer. And then just get together with us as we just go about teaching you how to do small groups again for this semester. Maybe you've led before. Maybe you're looking to lead for the first time. Either way, show up, hang out with us. Small group leadership training, Tuesday, May 4th, 7 p.m. I love y'all so much. Thanks for being here with us online. We'll see you next week.